Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. We hebben straks een muzikale verrassing voor alle kijkers die al zo vroeg zijn opgestaan om Hour of Power te zien. En dat vinden we natuurlijk geweldig leuk. Maar daar kom ik zo meteen op terug. Straks spreekt in de Crystal Cathedral dominee Blake, Charles Edward Blake, over omgaan met tegenslagen. En dominee Blake is een bijzondere man als een van de leiders van de 6 miljoen tellende Pinkstergemeente in Amerika. En zelf heeft hij een kerk in West Los Angeles met 24.000 leden. En wat kan die man mooi spreken? Nou, dat zult u zien. Bridget Bentley gaat zingen. Wat heeft ze een fantastische stem. En zij zingt De Sterren van de Daken. Dat doet ze al vele jaren in de kerk. En tenslotte hebben we als muzikale gast Don Nguyen, de dirigent van het koor van de Crystal Cathedral. Nou, meestal ziet u hem van zijn achterkant, die mooie grijze haardos. Maar nu zit hij hier zometeen op de bank. En gaat hij vertellen over alle nieuwe ontwikkelingen bij de kerk, waar u elke zondag naar kijkt en waar u zich zo hecht mee verbonden voelt. En vandaar dat we snel naar Californië gaan.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Turn around to those who are standing next to you, shake their hands and say, God loves you and so do I. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful to you that you've called us here to this place to worship you and give you praise. Bind our hearts to you and to each other as we're inspired and encouraged by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Listen to these ancient words of praise from the psalmist. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. O Lord God, who is mighty like you? You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all its fullness, you have founded them. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name, they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness, they are exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. This morning, it's my honor to welcome to the Hour of Power Grammy-nominated composer and pianist Freddie Ravel. Freddie is known around the world as the motivational maestro. His genre is Latin jazz, having begun his career performing with that fabulous Brazilian Sergio Menendez. Please welcome with me Freddie Ravel. Sometimes I'm a musician as well. Sometimes I feel like music, without words, can in a way be like a prayer.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I've always felt that music is the great invitation for mankind to transcend spoken word, you know?
Yeah. And so how long have you been playing? I mean, you have an incredible career, but you've been playing for years, and you've written for some of the most incredible musicians. Played with Sergio.
Sergio Mendez was my very first big opportunity that actually came through the result of a friend of mine who happens to be here today, Mr. Ron Powell, who's playing percussion. There he is, Ron. Many years ago, Ron invited me to join Sergio Mendez. I was about 21 years old, and he recommended me, and I ended up joining Sergio when I was 23.
Oh, wonderful. How young were you when you began playing the piano?
I got into the piano around 11 years old. In between, I wanted to play baseball. I had my paper routes. I was, you know, doing things, and got deep into music about 11 years old.
And so now music has become, in a way for you, sort of like, is it a ministry? I mean, they call you the musical maestro. You use your music to motivate people. What is that like? Tell us about that.
You know, I've been very fortunate to do what I've been dreaming to do my whole life and to perform and everything. But it got to a point where I decided that music is one of the most underused things we have. It's one of God's greatest gifts to us all. The ability to participate, to sing, to play, to celebrate. We use music from the cradle to the grave. We use it to celebrate birth and everything in between. One of my great dreams that I pray for and I ask God's, to assist in every way and that I can be of service and a vehicle for is how do we use music beyond just entertainment? Yeah. There's an element there that we can take the spirit of melody, harmony, and rhythm and break it into things. So when we do our organizational work, we've done things with like the Apples and the Citibanks and all these corporate entities that we've worked with, as well as for education and charity.
Sure.
What we've done in those capacities is we've taken melody, since melody is the identity of a song,
sure,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
We take melody and we use that to talk about leadership, about the identity of leading something, the lead melody.
That's the main part of the song.
That's the main part of the song. You know, the lead guitar player, you know, I was playing with Carlos Santana. That guy's the leader, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If it's Celine Dion hitting one of those glorious notes, she's leading.
Yeah.
She's leading, right?
Course,
so that's the leader. The harmony is the support.
I see.
And today, the harmony is this magnificent orchestra, the wonderful Mark Riley, that incredible choir. They're providing the glue, the harmony, that actually makes the melody matter. Mm-hmm. They're the team behind that melody. Yeah. And the rhythm, of course, is the tempo. It's the driving thing. You know, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing, right?
Yeah.
So you got to have that.
Yeah.
And then it all adds up to a thing called the score, which is the results, the outcome of melody, harmony, and rhythm.
Amazing. How does your faith play a role in everything that you're doing?
God is at the center of everything. You know, it is, we're a family that prays every single day, and we live in gratitude, constant gratitude for the opportunity to exist, to be here, and to honor God. So it actually centers everything we do. And what we're doing with music to me is really, our dream is that we just recognize that music is a form of divine service.
Yeah, and if you had one thing, I mean, you're the motivational guy, you use music to push people. What is one thing that you could tell these people here, the most important thing, most important idea you have?
I believe that there is a space between the notes that's a very important aspect to our lives, that we listen to the inspiration inside of us, that we surrender to the higher power of God, and that we need to do things that allow us to be as present as possible. And that to me is be in the moment and celebrate life.
Oh, wonderful. Freddie, thank you so much for coming. And you're going to play a song for us now. Soul
I'd
to soul,
to.
Right?
Love to.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Freddie. God bless you. Thank you.
En er is maar één man die zo mooi kan dirigeren. En dat is de dirigent van het koor van de Crystal Cathedral. Don Newman. Al vele jaren dirigeert hij dit koor, wat ik een van de beste ter wereld vind. En vandaag, vanmorgen, is hij te gast hier bij Hour of Power op bezoek in Nederland. Don is een absolute expert als het gaat om Handel's Messiah. En die heeft hij vele malen over de hele wereld uitgevoerd als dirigent. En zijn bezielende leiding laat een koor zingen tot grote hoogte. Don, good morning.
Good morning, Jan.
I just said that you as a conductor know how to bring a choir to higher heights.
All right.
How do you do that? What's the trick?
I reach into their soul if I can. To bring not just the intellect, not just the mind, not just the brain to the music and to the words. But once the mind understands, then it has to go into the soul. And God has given every human being a soul. So everybody in every choir, if I help them, can take the meaning of the anthem or of the song into their soul and then reflect that back out to the congregation. Then they sing better than they know how to sing.
But there's one secret. In front of the choir, there's the man that inspires. And you are the inspirational conductor of a choir that I consider, but probably I'm a little biased, the best of the world. And it's a unique mix, and not everybody knows it. Professional singers, amateurs. How do you bring them together?
We have one standard. The professionals think they know everything. They don't. The amateurs are humble. So I have to take the professional singers higher than they know. I have to take the volunteers to the same place. It's not this. It has to be this. If I give you a violin and you never play the violin, and I say, play better, you cannot play any better. Fingers not obey for the violin. You have to spend many years. But the voice will obey the mind if the mind tells the voice the right thing to do. So we've been using it since we were little baby, talking. So I have to see to it that the volunteers, the amateurs in the choir, sing like great professionals. I have to teach them what that is. And then you don't give them a choice. They have to do it well. And they will.
Recently you moved from the iconic, beautiful Crystal Cathedral to another place, Shepherd Grove. We will televise from Shepherd Grove January. How is the move for you personally?
Everybody was very sad. I was very sad. The singers, very sad. Almost no hope. Only we had to have hope. We believe in God, Jesus Christ, we have to have hope. But as the human being, very little hope. Then we went to the new church. It's great.
Really?
It's incredibly great.
Really?
It's wonderful.
Wow.
Wonderful. The acoustics, much better than the cathedral. This is a beautiful church. More sacred, more religious. No show. Sacred religious service. We feel like we are now not on a show for the world, but now we feel like we bring a religious service to the world from within a church. Not from a television, but from within a church. Everyone is happy. Every Sunday, the church is full of people. I thought nobody would come. Or if they came the first Sunday, they would not come back. They keep coming, 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 coming. It's full. They're happy. They're excited. Bobby Shuler's preaching is great. The choir sings better than they ever sang before. Everybody's happy.
So we continue to come to the church. And many Dutch people do, and they're welcome over there. So we love our church in America, but you and Sue, your wife, do love the Netherlands.
I say many times, ever since the choir went on tour to the Netherlands, we sing for the United States, we sing for the world, but our hearts sing for the Dutch. We love the Dutch. When the Dutch come on tour and we sit down like Christ and his friends and have dinner, everybody has dinner together, everybody hug, smile, tear, only the Dutch.
The future of Shepherd Grove consists of a few pillars: the choir, you as a conductor, Bobby as the preacher. So where it seemed that hope was failing, there's new hope, there's new excitement, and everything that is needed is in place.
Almost so.
Almost.
Almost. The spirit is in place. We are more of a church now than we've ever been before. It still needs generous tithing and giving of monies. With our spirit, our positive, joyful, believe in Jesus Christ spirit, we will go forward. We will go forward.
It's prophetic.
I hope.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
Don, thank you so very much for this wonderful interview. And every Sunday, you are an inspiration for the world, but especially for the Netherlands. And when you sing what you said, you sing for the Netherlands. And thank you for this interview. And if you have a special greeting from your heart to the Dutch, they love you. Whatever you want to say in front of the camera.
What I said, we love you. We love you like you're our dear friend. We don't sing to millions of people. We sing to dear friend, dear friend, dear friend, dear friend. And we love the Dutch people. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for that.
Dear Don, thank you so much for your heartfelt words. And you're a true inspiration, and you're one of my heroes. And I love to listen to your music and sit with you and talk with you. We have become very, very good friends, and thank you for your friendship. And this good candy from the Netherlands. You visited a place, the church in the heart of Gouda, and you fell in love with the syrup. Yes. Thank you, Don.
Dankjewel.
Thank you.
We put it on a coffee cup.
So it heats up a little bit.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wij staan hier met een groep Hour of Power kijkers uit Nederland die het fantastisch vinden om hier zowel in de Crystal Cathedral rond te kijken, de diensten bij te wonen, Californië te ontdekken, maar ook om onze nieuwe locatie, onze nieuwe kerk, Shepherd Grove, te bezichtigen. En ik vraag wat reacties, want ik ben benieuwd hoe de kijkers in Nederland denken over wat straks de nieuwe Crystal Cathedral is. Anita, het was jouw droom om Bobby persoonlijk te ontmoeten, om het koor te ontmoeten. Hoe is de ervaring?
Ja, bijzonder geweest. Zeer emotioneel. Heel geweldig. Overweldigend eigenlijk. Want de nieuwe kerk staat voor mij ook iemand met zijn deuren wijd open. Voel heel goed, voel heel fijn. En dit gaat hem worden. Dit wordt Bobby's droom.
Wat vind jij ervan?
Ja, heel mooi. Heel sereen. Past bij Bobby.
Joost, jij had nog nooit van Hour of Power gehoord. Je hebt nog nooit naar een uitzending van Hour of Power gekeken. Maar je oma heeft je meegenomen. Je bent met dit gezelschap, althans een deel staat hier, op reis. Hoe ervaar je dit?
Ik vind het een overweldigende week. 2 weken zelfs. Ik geniet met elke dag. Dus ik vind het prachtig. Ja.
De bedoeling van zo'n reis is ook dat je God ontdekt. Ben je die ontdekking in je leven?
Ik denk dat ik die elke uur bijna tegenkom tegenwoordig. Ja, die kom ik zeker tegen.
Ja, ik vind het een geweldige kerk. Het past bij Bobby. En het gaat uiteindelijk toch om de mensen en niet om het gebouw.
Robbie is een geweldige pastor. Hij is een mooi voorbeeld van hoe je in de toekomst je geloof kunt uitdragen. En ik wens de nieuwe kerk veel succes, want God kent tijd, nog plaats en nog gebouw.
We hebben veel ontmoetingen met Bobby Schuller gehad, persoonlijk ook. We hebben allemaal met hem gepraat. Hoe is dat bij jou overgekomen?
Heel verrassend. Ik had niet gedacht dat zo'n jonge man zeg maar, dit soort charisma kan uitstralen, maar het is echt subliem.
Alle vertrouwen in?
Alle vertrouwen in. Dat komt goed, ja.
Wat vindt u van de nieuwe kerk?
Ik ben binnen geweest. Ik vind het een hele mooie kerk. Maar toen gingen we daarna naar de Crystal Cathedral. En dan denk ik met weemoed, oh God, jammer. Wat jammer. Want het is natuurlijk zo'n prachtige kerk. Dus dat zal ik missen. Ja.
Maria, jij bent de oudste deelnemster. Maar jong van hart. Wat vind jij van alles wat je beleeft?
Nou, ik moet je zeggen dat ik er enorm veel vertrouwen in heb. In Robbie, op de manier zoals hij praat en doet. Het is een nieuwe tijd nu. En ik zelf heb er echt alle vertrouwen in. Ik ben er heel blij mee. En ik zie de toekomst goed.
Amen, zeg ik dan.
Ik hoop dat ik het nog mee kan maken.
Wat vindt u van de nieuwe kerk?
Ja, even wennen. Maar het gaat niet om waar we aan bidden, maar hoe.
Je bent een trouwe Hour of Power kijker.
Dat klopt.
Elke zondag?
Elke zondag, 8-9.
En nu hier?
Nu hier, ja. Voor de zoveelste keer.
Ja. En hoe is het gevoel nu? Nu
we overgaan naar de nieuwe kerk? Dubbel. De nieuwe kerk is anders, wennen. En de schoonheid van de andere die vergelijk ik niet met deze. Ik vond de andere mooier. Maar ja, het gaat om het woord en niet om de stenen.
De cathedral, ja, dat gevoel, dat is zo speciaal. En het zijn gevengde gevoelens. Maar de kerk als zodanig voelt zeker niet verkeerd en past bij Bobby. Ja, absoluut. Dus in dat opzicht hoop ik op een heel mooi nieuw begin.
Echt toch wel geweldig. En we zijn heel blij dat we door kunnen gaan met Hour of Power. Dat vind ik echt heel belangrijk.
Nou, u maakt het mee. Woorden kunnen niet zeggen wat hier gevoeld wordt. De verbondenheid met Bobby, met elkaar. En dat hartelijke applaus, dat onderstreept hoe wij over onze dominee denken. En over dit kerkgebouw en wat hier gaat gebeuren. Heel veel zegen zal hier vandaan komen.
Goedemorgen, ik ben Bobby Schuller. Thank you for watching the Hour of Power this morning in the Netherlands. We're so glad that you've invited us into your home. And we hope that you're encouraged. Now, that's the vision of Hour of Power. We want to come to you and anyone else who feels stressed out in their relationships and their family and work, when you're sick, when you're lonely. We just want you to know that you serve a big God who is bigger than all of those things. And we want you to know, no matter what you're going through in life, you can get through it. We believe in you and we love you. I particularly have a soft spot in my heart for the Dutch people. You know, not only am I Dutch in my heritage, but every time we come to the Netherlands, there is nothing like standing in an old Dutch church, listening to Dutch people sing praises to God. Nobody sings like the Dutch. And that's one of the sweetest things I love about the Dutch people. I just want to remind you that feeling that you have when you sing praises to God, you can live your life with that assurance of God's love and God's power. Thank you for watching the Hour of Power. And remember, you know, it takes a village to run the Hour of Power in Netherlands. And we hope that you continue to support our ministry as it moves forward. We know that financially times are very difficult in Europe. And so we're so thankful for those of you that have helped us through this difficult time. We never want to go into debt. We don't want to do anything like that. And we hope that you can help us get through as we approach the end of the year. Thanks again for watching. We hope you enjoy the program. And remember, God houdt van jou en wij ook.
Word nu donateur. www.hourofpower.nl of bel 035 538 0588.
Through my doubts and fears, you dried my tears and said, child, just trust in me. And through it all, I'll help you to be what you speak about, what you sing about, when you tell the world of just believe I'm a God who is bigger than your circumstance. Just believe I'm a God who will do just what I said. Just believe even when you cannot see. Feel me, can't hear me, but you know me, just choose to believe. Oh, he's a God who brings the sun up in the morning, yeah, and with his mighty hand, he keeps the land back from. Souls he fed, and he brought three boys out of the fiery furnace. The king was amazed, and he wondered, how could this be? Because they believed in a God who was bigger than their circumstances.
I want to talk to you today about overcoming negative circumstances and negative emotions. Overcoming negative circumstances and negative emotions. I want to read from the 18th Psalm, starting with verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. One of the most important abilities that a person can have is the ability to endure and to rise above negative circumstances and negative emotions. Now, all of us are familiar with the influence of circumstances. We frequently predict the potential success of a venture based on the circumstances that surround the endeavor. Circumstances are the criteria for the success of the endeavor. And a common excuse for failure is that it was due to circumstances beyond our control. So many are more intent on changing their circumstances than they are on dealing with themselves and preparing to deal with the circumstances. For them, circumstances are the primary thing. And so you hear it every day. If I just lived in a different town, if I had a different house, a different apartment, I need to get away from my family. My husband, my wife is just dragging me down. I'm tired of my neighborhood. I'm tired of my job. I need a change in circumstances. But it was Samuel Lover who said, circumstances are the rulers of the weak, but they are the instruments of the poor. And Napoleon said, circumstances, I make circumstances. The same circumstances that can destroy one person can make another person. Arnold Toynbee said, great civilizations are not born in circumstances where everything is nice and comfortable, but rather in environments that are unusually difficult. Thus, it is not the circumstance that is the important thing. It is one's response to his circumstances that are the important thing. Let's also say a few words about negative emotions. Frequently, our emotions are based on and wedded to our circumstances. And our conscious feelings, our psychological reactions, are based on our real or imagined perception of our environment. Thus, one would be afraid or angry or distressed because of the things that were happening in their vicinity. But there are some who are troubled emotionally despite their good environment. They enjoy a higher level of prosperity than they've ever known. Physically, they're reasonably secure and healthy, but still they are plagued by negative emotions. So many people today are sorrowful, distressed, fearful, and they have no idea why they feel the way they feel. Their emotions have made life almost unbearable for them. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 14, the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So many are incapacitated in their ability to respond to their challenges and to their difficulties because they're wounded on the inside and they cannot rise above their predicament. Let's take a look at some of the circumstances that David faced in Psalm 18. And the first thing that he says about his circumstance is that there were enemies in his environment. Saul hated him because of his skill in warfare and because of his popularity. Saul hated him because God had chosen David to be king instead of Saul. The Philistines hated him because he killed their champion, the giant Goliath. Some people hated him only because they found out that Saul hated him. And then other people hated him for no particular reason. They just hated him. You know that people don't really need a reason to hate you or to be your enemy. If you live, you will have enemies. But even more, don't be prominent. Don't have special skills. Don't be successful. Don't do anything outstanding or progressive. Don't take an unpopular point of view, because if you do, you will be hated and you will have enemies. But not only were enemies a prominent aspect of David's environment, he says that floods of ungodly men were all around him. And a predominance of ungodly men would make life much more difficult, especially if you were striving to live a life of integrity and a life of righteousness. His was a wicked and a dangerous world. David also says that he was surrounded by unpleasantness and by pain. He says that he was compassed about by the sorrows of death and hell. David was also confronted by some very unpleasant emotions. He mentions in this psalm fear and sorrow and distress. Certain things made David afraid. In the space of three short verses, David made several significant observations about his God. He calls God his strength. He calls God his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his shield, his stronghold. And he says that God is worthy to be praised. And so David might well have addressed these words not only as a prayer to God, I will love you, O Lord, but he addressed them as a statement to himself and as a challenge to his circumstances and to his emotions. Old Roberts once said, stop telling God about your terrible problem mountains and start telling your mountains about your God, your great God, your mighty God. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. The text offers for us a strategy. It sets forth a proper response to our negative emotions and to our negative circumstances. The text proposes four significant keys to victory. And you will note that each of these keys will begin with the word, I will. And the fourth one starts with the word, so shall I be saved. In other words, I shall be saved. This implies personal decisiveness. It implies an act of the will. Don't just stand there and be destroyed. Don't just stand there and be defeated. Exercise your will. Act, move, decide. Determine that you will rise above your circumstance. I had a friend who said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You may have met him at one time or another. And so the text says in Psalm 18 and 1, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. And that's key number one. I will love you, O Lord. To love God is an appropriate response to God, because love is the predominant sentiment and commitment that God has toward us. The Apostle Paul says that loving God will have a creative and synthesizing effect upon your life. For in Romans 8 and 28, Paul said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Loving God. And then in Psalm 18 and verse 2, David said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. And that's key number two. I will trust God. If you don't trust God, you will be overwhelmed by worry and by fear. If you trust God, you will overcome worry and fear. The struggle of life is great enough without having to bear the added burden of worry and fear. I was a tired traveler in a hotel in a city far away, riding the elevator up to my room. I had heavy luggage in both of my hands, a heavy suitcase on the right, another on the left. So there I stood, riding the elevator, carrying my heavy luggage. But a thought came to me, and the thought was this: put the luggage down. The elevator can carry both you and your luggage. I put it down, and I arrived at my floor less burdened and less weary than I was before. Put your worry down. Put your fear down. God can carry both you and the things that you worry about. And then in Psalm 18 and verse 3, David says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. That's key number three. He may not answer as we expect or when we expect, but God said, call unto me and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Key number four is also found in Psalm 18, verse 3. The psalmist says, so shall I be saved from my enemies. I shall be saved. I shall survive this. I will be rescued. I will come through this. This will not destroy me. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that trust in the Lord, shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. David said, I shall be saved. But this is more than just an analytical prediction It is a statement of determination and a statement of commitment. It is a statement of firm resolve. It's a proclamation that he will not be defeated by negative circumstances and by negative emotions, but rather he will overcome them and he will march on to victory. My friend, God will not allow you to be confronted by anything that you and he cannot handle together. If you confront it with God's help, you can deal with it. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but he will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You can deal with it. You can bear it. You can endure it and you will come through it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And I hope that some of you today will say, whatever you're dealing with, I will come out of this. And I'll come out not with a whimper or a sigh, but with a shout of victory. This tough time will not defeat me. This tough time will not cause me to surrender. I pray that every one of you will love God. I pray that you will trust God. As you focus on loving God, trusting him, and calling on him, the things that you're worried about will fall back further and further into the distance, and your focus will be on God. I pray that you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. I pray that you will live abundantly, not only now, but throughout all eternity. Don't give up. Love God. Trust God. Call on God. You shall be saved.
Someone to pray for you this morning. After the service, we'll have pastors and ministering elders here in the front. Take courage and come and allow them to bless your life. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
En tot zover deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Wat heb ik genoten en ik hoop u en jij ook van die inspirerende toespraak van dominee, oftewel bisschop Blake. Wat kan die man enthousiast vertellen? En dan lijken tegenslagen eigenlijk klein en kun je er ook goed mee omgaan, ook met hulp van boven, met hulp van God. Ik bedank iedere kijker voor het kijken naar Hour of Power. Wat mooi ook dat we hoorden hoe Don Nieuwen, de dirigent van het koor, blij is met alle ontwikkelingen en het enthousiasme wat leeft binnen Shepherd Grove, de nieuwe naam van de Crystal Cathedral. Iedereen een hele goede zondag toegewenst en ik hoop tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.